So Wednesday night, I know that some were missing Wednesday night, but that's okay because we're going to cover some of that material again. But first and foremost this morning, why don't you stand with me and let's open with prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your name, that the word of God may be increased greatly within us, that we might know who we are, who you created us to be in the beginning, Lord, that we might be the sons of God, that the love of God might be made manifest in us, in all things, in Christ Jesus. In your name we pray to the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. First and foremost, how many of you really understand what the members of Christ are? And if you do, tell me. No one? Okay, so let me ask you this question. What is a member of Christ's body? Okay. So tell me what a member of Christ's body is. You just told me it was a thought, but what thought? You can't just say it's a thought. Come on. Be more descriptive. That's pretty generic. Tell me what a member of the body of Christ looks like. Well, we know that the members of the body of Christ are his church, right? So what does that look like? We're not talking about a physical place and a physical earth and a physical man. What are we talking about? Whose church is it? It's God's church. You are his church, the Bible says. Let's talk about this for just a moment. Members. Bible even says in the book of Corinthians that you're members in particular. Does it say that? Okay. So it even says members in particular in the book of Corinthians. If I misspell anything, don't worry about it. Doesn't matter to God. So members in particular. So let me ask you another provoking question then. If I am a member of the body of Christ and I am a body, correct? What does the body look like? I know you don't know because you've never seen it, okay? And we're going to read some things this morning that are definitely going to provoke you into some thought. But one thing for sure, we're not going to chase those thoughts, amen? We're not going to do it. We know that that is sin, okay? So, if I'm a member of the body of Christ, then I know, are there in me many members? Yeah, because I am the body of Christ. I am his church. So, in me are many members. So does one member look like this? So one member of Christ's body looks like this. But more importantly, don't they look like this? The members of the body of Christ are apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastor, teacher. What else? Is it just limited to those five, or are there many more? There's many more. So we could go into Romans 12, we could go into 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, on and on and on, and we could find out what the members of the body of Christ are and what form they have, except we don't know the form until God shows us. Then we'll know the form of it. So I say that to you this morning because as we continue down the road that we're headed down, how many of you are beginning to understand or beginning to get a basis of thought formed in you that the body of Christ is much greater than you ever thought of it before? Because we know that in Isaiah it says that God said that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. So, when God begins to speak, is he speaking from a perception that you can understand here, or is he speaking from a perception to draw you into heaven? Which is it? Yeah, the whole mission of God speaking to you is to draw you into the place where he himself exists. That's why he speaks to you. So one thing for sure, I know that there's experiences in me that have come by the Word of God to draw me into heavenly places, to set me in heavenly places, in high places. So that when my mind begins to work, or the members of the body of Christ begin to work in me, they're to show me heaven and not to show me earth, this physical earth. It takes me away from this. So in the book of Colossians, we're going to see in the third chapter, it says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. Okay? So, and we even know the distinction then between the earth that God's talking about and the earth that we know. Correct? So, spiritually, because God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, so then spiritually, is God higher than man? Imagine that. God's higher than man. But man, in his consciousness, has a really hard time embracing that concept within himself. Because what can he see, feel, touch, hear? What can he do? In himself, right? Like he doesn't need God. I don't need God. I can do all things. Everything that God says is necessary, I can do within myself. I don't need God. Is that true or not true? It's not true if we're thinking like God. Okay? But if we want to not think like God, then it's true. I can do everything that I need to do for myself here in this place and not know God, not need God. Very true. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, what was the purpose or the mission of Jesus Christ coming? Why did he come? To take you back home again, where you came from. That was his whole mission. So Wednesday night, we hit some things pretty hard. And I'm going to start reading in the second chapter, the first verse. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to ad lib some things just so we keep things moving. But you have the word, you have your Bibles, you have the Word of God in you so that you can follow along. Okay? For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So, first thing, when I begin to read in this chapter, I know that God is a what? What is God? He's a mystery. God is a mystery. In other words, unless God reveal himself to you, God is a mystery. He is a mystery. We say God, but we don't know God. We confess God, but we don't know God. It takes the Father to reveal God to you. Actually, let me put it even more importantly to you. This is why Jesus Christ was sent, to reveal the Father to you. Because only the Son can reveal the Father, and only the Father can reveal the Son. Thus, the Word of God. So, very important for us to begin to understand. God is a mystery, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, in the mystery of God are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, if I say I have wisdom and know not God, am I a liar? I am a liar. So, because in our perception of what wisdom and knowledge is, as man, it's not the same as God. So, and I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. You guys just listen. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So, if I speak it with the wisdom of words from my carnal mind, what happens to the cross of Jesus Christ? It is of none effect. It has no power. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So what's he going to do with man's wisdom? He's going to destroy it. So how does that happen? So let me ask you something. What wisdom in you is he talking about? Is he talking about the way you do your job? Is he talking about the things that you've had to learn to become what you are, to do what you do here? Or is he talking about something greater? Okay, so what is it? Come on. Okay. Almost got it. All right. So what he is taking from you is the wisdom that you think you have by the Word of God. So when you receive the Word of God, man, this is a tough thing for us to learn. It was for me. So when I received the Word of God, the whole time, from the time I was a child until the time I was almost 52 years of age, I would receive that Word of God, and the first thing I would do is I would try to figure it out in my own mind. How many have that T-shirt? And when I tried to figure it out in my own mind, what did I do to it? I would kill the truth, or I would defile it, or I would put it in a place, or like the Bible says, we have four grounds within us, and I would put it in one of the three grounds that was not the good ground. That's exactly how Satan works in the Word of God. So I would think that I had the truth working in me by the power of the truth of the Word of God, yet not knowing God or not knowing what the truth was to do, I would defile it, I would put it in a ground that was not of God, thus it would not produce the members of the body of Christ. The fruit of it was null and void. So when we talk about the fruit of the Word of God, are we talking about the members of the body of Christ? Yes, we are. So it becomes very important to us how we hear the Word of God. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? Be careful how you hear. It becomes extremely important to you. So, let me go on to this. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where are the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So how could the world by wisdom know not God? What did we do with the wisdom that came that God sent? We defiled it. So in manifestation, when God sent Jesus Christ, his son, what did the Jews do with Jesus Christ? They killed him. They crucified him. Why did they do it? They thought was higher than God's own thought. Because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen? So, God sent his son into the world to save the world. But the world did not like Jesus. So when your world hears Jesus, and you have established your world in yourself by your own thought, when you receive that Word of God, and know not God, what are you going to do to the truth? You're going to kill it. That's what you're going to do with it. Because it doesn't line up with your preconceived notions as to what you think God is. So when the Jews, they knew from the scripture that the Messiah was supposed to come, right? But didn't they have a predetermined image in their mind of what that Messiah was going to look like and what he was going to do? They believed he was going to come and overthrow Rome and Greece and establish Israel as the kingdom of the world once again. That's what they believed. Did he do it? Yes, he did. Just not in the way that they thought he was going to do it. And so, rather than submit to the Word of God, what did they do to it? They took it out of the way so they wouldn't have to. And thought they did the world a favor. They believed that what they did was righteous. So do you. So do you. You believe it. I will tell you this. Jesus never manifests himself according to your thought, because your thought is not God's thought. Did you hear me? This is very important to us, because the Word of God is what forms the body of Christ. It's the Word of God that forms or brings forth the members of the body of Christ. And I'm saying this to you this morning so that as you begin to hear the Word of God, and God, through His goodness, brings you to repentance, and we know we're not repenting from the manifestations of sin that we have committed in this body. Hear me, in this fleshly body. We're not talking about that. Our sin is how we defiled the Word of God that was sent into us to save us. And what we chose to do with it, and how it worked within by the wickedness of spirits, is what God came to redeem. Hear me plainly. So for the first 20-some years of my life, I grew up in the Disciples of Christ Christian Church. For the next 26 years of my life, I pastored in the Pentecostal realm, or the Assemblies of God Church. At 52, I had to learn that all the wisdom that I had in me by the Word of God was not God. Now, you think that was an easy thing? But was it a God thing? Yes, it was a God thing. It was a God thing. For sure, a God thing. And as long as God is God, He is going to send His Word, send His Son into you to save you. You as John, you as Ellen, you as Ted? No. You as He predetermined you to be from the foundations of the world. This is where God becomes God. So when we talk about things that are foreordained, things that are to be made known, things that are to be revealed, it's the mind of God that has always been God, even from the beginning. So, from the perception of God, from the beginning, what did God determine that to be? What was His mindset? What was the mind of God when it came to the creation of the things of God? Come on. What? In His image? Which is what? Is it physical or is it spiritual? It's spiritual. So God, who is spirit, from the beginning determined that you were going to be spirit. And your name was not Dave or Connie or Carlene or any other names that are sitting in this room or in Twin Falls today. That is not your name in heaven, and is definitely not your image in heaven. So when we hear the Word of God and we put it into an image as like unto flesh and blood, what does it do to the Word of God? It defiles it. This is how far removed we have become in our mindsets when it comes to God. So even when we think about Jesus Christ, and what do we do every Easter? Yeah, we kill Him again. Okay, we celebrate the death of Jesus, a physical man in a physical place, because we can't come to the spiritual aspects of God. We cannot allow the carnal mind, which is the enmity of God, to come to a place where it can receive the truth. That's what we do. So even, and we've spoke this many times in Revelation chapter 1. Okay, now listen to this. The revelation, what does the word revelation mean? Okay, it means to reveal. Okay? So here's this word. Now, in the mind of God, who's He going to reveal? He's going to reveal His Son. So it's the revealing of His Son. And who is his son? Okay, his son is spirit because it's after God. And Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. Okay, so we know it's spirit. We won't argue that. Okay, he's the Word of God. And does the Bible say that also in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter? Says he is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now listen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So when it says him, we know that he gave it to his son. So the revelation of Jesus Christ had to be given to the son in order for the son to do what? Yeah, he had to know what he was to do in the Father before he could go do it. It's the same for, listen, you think that the Word of God that you are is any different than the Word of God that Jesus Christ himself was or is? No, we know that we're no different. The thing is, we just can't think like God. So God is teaching us how to think like God. So when we read it in John 1 or John 3 and 1, oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, correct? So God calls us his son. God knew from the beginning who he determined for us to be. But we ourselves are so locked into flesh and blood that we cannot come to the things that are spirit. Because I can't go up and touch the spirit. I can't go up and ask you to say something and hear it. I can't. There's many things that body right there, or these bodies here, when it comes to defining it spiritually, we just can't get there because our mind is spirit or carnal. It's carnal. It's against God. So let me go on. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So he gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ for what reason? To show us. To show us. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So John's the revelator. But what did John see? He saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, John comes to himself, and all of a sudden he sees himself as what? An angel of the Lord. And we even miss that when we try to interpret the book of Revelation, because we can't define it in the mind of the Spirit, so we define it carnally or outwardly, and we miss the whole thing. We even said Wednesday night, right? In Luke 17:21, right? We read it. The kingdom of God comes not with outward observation. For the kingdom of God is where? It's in you. So he told his disciples, look not, lo here, lo there. Remember, and I gave you some examples of the Toronto Blessing when it was around in the 80s, I believe it was. The Brownsville Revival, which was around in the 90s or early 2000s. The Kansas City thing where people saw gold falling out of heaven and got new teeth. All that stuff. Yet, not God, not God, not God. Look not low here, low there. For where's the kingdom of God? It's in you. How's it in you? It was sent. It was sent by the Father into you to reveal to you the Son of God. These things become the difference between the traditions of men and the righteousness or the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Let me go on. Back to Colossians. that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, is it a mystery? And this book even says that when we get in the previous chapter, the revelation of the mystery is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Christ in you. So if Christ is in you, is that not the kingdom of heaven that is in you? Absolutely. Because where does Christ sit? He sits on the throne of God. And it's really hard for us to determine how this all works within to bring us unto heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me go on. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, doesn't he give you a warning there in that fourth verse? What's it say? Beguile you with enticing words. So now, Adam is in the Garden of Eden, correct? Adam was given a commandment, of the trees of the garden you may what? Freely eat. Correct? Except this one tree, this tree right here, Adam, God showed him the tree. And he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you will do what? You will surely die. Adam fixated on the tree that God told him not to eat of. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Let me tell you something. It was God's plan. Why else would he do it? If it was foreordained of God to bring every word that's in this Bible, every word written by God, is it not for your admonition? Is it not for your correction? Is it not for your reproof? Is it not for your way of life? So when I read these things in the Bible, is it not to bring forth in me the teaching of God's mind so that I will know what caused me to sin? God's not after sin. He's after who? The Son of God. And if the Son of God cannot overcome sin by the Word of God, can he be a son? No. It's not possible. This is where we don't even understand the power of the Word of God. So, Adam stands in the garden. God gives him a commandment. Was Adam both male and female? Yes, so was God. Let's make man in our image, both male and female. Correct? So Adam was both male and female. Stands before a tree. God tells him don't eat of it. He's got every tree of the garden to eat of. And if he'd have ate of those trees, what would have happened to his mind? Wisdom and knowledge from God would be his possession. But instead of partaking of the wisdom and knowledge of God, he chose to partake of a tree which possessed death. You know why he did it? Because when God said death, Adam goes, what is death? I've never heard the word before. What does it mean? What kind of power does it have? All these things began to take place in his mind. So he went to the tree. And who was in the tree? The serpent was in the tree. And the serpent had possession of what? What did he have possession of? The Word of God. And he took the word that he had, which was a lie. He changed it into a lie. That's why he was a serpent. That's why he was the devil. Took the word of God that he had, changed it into a lie, and put it into Adam. When Adam communed with him. And God said, Adam, don't eat of that tree. You eat of that tree, you're going to die. God knew he was going to eat of the tree. Well, why would God let him eat of the tree if he was going to die? To teach the son. Was Adam God's son? What did Adam need to learn? He needed to learn how to submit to the Father. He needed to learn how to obey the Word of God. And without submitting to the Father and without obeying the Word of God, what could happen if he didn't? He could die. He could be cut off. So then when he did it, God had to show him something, right? And this is where people, you preach this stuff and the truth, it splits men's minds apart because they have another perception of the story that's not true. So when God's going to teach it to Adam, teach Adam what he did, what does he do to teach it? Okay, he puts Adam in a deep sleep and he does what with Eve? Well, with the woman, with the female, what does he do with her? Takes the female out of Adam. Takes her out of Adam and shows Adam, right here, this is what caused you to fall. So in our minds, we think, okay, so every woman is evil. And I'm like, dude, that is not what God was showing Adam. But in our minds, because of that which is carnal in us, that which is against God, we want to perceive it as that very thing. Yet we know that in God's perception, are you a man or a woman? You're both, as a son, right? So, do you have a man in you as well as a woman in you? What's God after? He's after the soul that is what? Both. Created in the image and likeness of God. Yet here we want to separate it differently. Oh yes, we want to put a hierarchy in it. Religion has even taken it to the point where we oppress women because we don't understand truth. We don't get it. And we've done it for how long? Since the beginning. And it's not the man's fault, and it's not the woman's fault, as we perceive it to be here. It is whose fault? Who caused it? Satan did, which is your mind without God. Did you hear what I just said? Which is your mind without God. This is why we struggle when it comes to spiritual things. Let me go on. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So who's your teacher? Jesus Christ is your teacher. Are you not disciples? Amen? Now listen, this is where I went Tuesday night at the end. Beware, lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and what? Not after Christ. Let me read that again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Take Peter for an example. Was Peter an apostle of God? How do you get to be an apostle? Who made him one? Jesus Christ did, right? What did Peter have to do to become apostolic, to become a member of the body of Christ? What did he need to do? Submit and obey. Oh, yeah. Well, He submitted and obeyed the Word of God, and going through the Word of God, it put him through the testing, trying, the admonishing, all that stuff to bring him forth. Did Jesus do the same thing? So if he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, was now he partaking in the life of Christ to become the Son of God? If we think it's going to be different for us, this is how we perceive it in Christianity today. I can confess my sins, I can say that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and then I just walk down the street and do the same thing I've always done. Have no change in mindset, no change in me philosophically. I'm still as vain as I've always been. I'm still as deceived as I've always been, but I profess Jesus Christ as my Savior. What did he save you from? Well, I don't drink anymore. You liar. Jesus Christ never thought you were an alcoholic to begin with. Jesus Christ always knew that you were the Son of God. Jesus Christ knew that the lie from the beginning is what deceived you and caused you to be what you are in the flesh. That's why when Jesus would approach people in the New Testament, who feared him the most? No. Yes. Evil, wicked spirits feared the hell out of the guy. Because they knew he came to cast them out. He came to get rid of them so that they who believed could walk in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Their mind would no longer be earthly. Their mind would be transformed or translated into the mind of God. Is that what happened to Peter? Yes. But even Peter, by the Word of God, had to be tested and tried, did he not? In the book of Galatians, in the second chapter, right? Peter's eating dinner with some of the circumcision, the Jews. No, excuse me, take that back. He's eating dinner with the Gentiles. Man, having some shellfish, some hoof beasts, man. He's eating some lamb, some pork. He's putting it down. Then some of the circumcision show up. Those that are called Jews. What does Peter do? Oh, separates himself from it. God, the Jews are coming. I better look like a Jew. Paul came, saw what Peter was doing. This is why we need the Word of God. Who was Paul? Was he an apostle? Was he one born out of due time? Was he the perfection of Jesus Christ in Peter? He was. That's why he was born out of due time. So Paul comes to Peter. He says, Peter, why are you doing this? Don't you know that in your dissimulation, you're causing many to sin? Do you know that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to save not only Jews, but what else? Gentiles. Because he came to save the world. He didn't come to save half of it. He came to save it all. So that every thought in you, whether it be Jew or Gentile thought, is God going to redeem it? Is he going to save it? How else can you become a son? You're going to become a half a son? Or are you going to become the Son of God? Which is it? And yet in our perceptions here, don't we believe that some things are very offensive to us? And they are. Why is that? Maybe our perception's wrong. I had to learn these things for myself. Now, that doesn't mean, please, now I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I say here. Please. Because men form thoughts that are not God. We all do. Amen? And when we live in those thoughts and we begin to manifest those thoughts, are we in God or are we out of God? Tell me. We are out of God. So when we begin to manifest in ourselves certain thoughts that are not God and we become those thoughts, is God for it or against it? He's against it. But does he already know that in it, in that manifestation, does he already know that the word is there because he put it there? And is he going to stay after it until it's redeemed? That's the part we miss. We become so prejudiced in our own minds towards certain thoughts that we cannot reach those people for, we couldn't preach to those things in our world if we wanted to. Because we're so prejudiced against it. Especially when I say that it doesn't look like I think Jesus looks like. That's why when you look at the traditions of men and the traditions of men say, well, if you're not Catholic, you're not saved. If you're not Baptist, you're not saved. If you're not Presbyterian, you're not saved. If you're not Lutheran, you're not saved. I've heard that all my life. You know what I found out? None of it's true. I even said those things about myself based upon my mindset or what I predetermined Jesus Christ to be. And I found out when the revelation of Jesus Christ came, I found out all those things were a lie and they possessed my thought. Whew. I'll tell you what, you want to be humble. Let me ask you this. Is humility a member of the body of Christ? So if you want to be humbled of God by the word of God, are you going to have to take on a new member? You are. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus Christ, who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what kind of body does Jesus Christ have? This is an argument. And I'll tell you, this is where people argue the word of God. God, let me tell you, God is God. The word of God is not to be argued. If you don't have a revelation of it from heaven, keep your mouth shut. That's what I'm going to tell you. Because you don't have a witness of the truth. All you have is a traditional teaching in your mind that is not the truth. And it causes us to be divided. God is not divided. God is one. So everything that Jesus said, where did he get it? He got it from God. Jesus said, I have no word of my own. Everything I say, I have heard of my Father. I have no works of my own. That which I do, I have seen my Father do. So we try to mimic God or mock God, which is even a more severe word, through our own works and call it God. Whew. Telling you, not the same, because the mindset's wrong. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So in the mindset of God, in Christ Jesus, what are you? You're complete. What does it mean to be complete? Finished? Perfected? So, did God rest on the seventh day, Barth? Why did he rest? Because everything was done, and it was very good. Everything was done. It was done. God rested. It was very good. So why am I here? But in the perception of God, what are you? You are who he says you are. So are you going through here to become what he says you are? Is he teaching his son how to be likened unto himself? That's why you're here. You're not here for any other reason. Oh, but my calling is to be this. Well, you can think that of yourself. I know who you're called to be. You are called to be the Son of God. Thus, John 1 John 3:1, which I already quoted to you. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Now listen to this. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So what happened to the body of, listen, did it say that you had a body of sin? Did it say that? So, what does the body of sin look like? Okay, we know that it's the carnal mind, but what does it look like? It's going to tell you, we're going to see it, and just if we ever get there, which we won't today. I was hoping we would, but we're not. So, Wednesday night, we'll see it. But I tell you what it says. I'll just give you a forerunning taste of it. It says the members of the body of sin are adultery, fornication, and the like. That's the body of sin. Yet we think fornication, adultery, and the like are committed how? Outwardly in the physical body. It's the Word of God. It's what you have done with the Word of God. Which is worse? The what you do in the physical body or that which you've done with the Word of God? That which you've done with the Word of God and called it God. Not true. God says, I do not look like you say I look. I am above. You are beneath. Whew, man. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision. What does it mean to be circumcised? What is circumcision? It's a cutting away. So in the Old Testament, the Jews would do what? What would they cut away? The foreskin would be circumcised away to show that you were what? A Jew. To show that you were a Jew. But now he's talking about another circumcision made without hands. What's he talking about? The foreskin of the heart. Or the body of sin. The wrong intent. The wrong desire. Wow. Okay. And you being, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Baptism. How many of us were taught baptism? Either you're immersed in a pool or sprinkled with a bottle. By the priest or the pastor. Correct? So, then what's the baptism of God? Jesus Christ said, I'm going to baptize, or John the Baptist said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? So when I baptize you in Christ, how am I baptizing you? By the Word of God? The sprinkling of water by the Word? I am cleansed. By the sprinkling of water, by the Word of God. What happens if I baptize without the Word of God? To no avail. It's vain. It's deceitful. Buried with him in baptism, where you were also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Now, if you were baptized of God into Christ's baptism, then what also would happen in it? It just told you. In the operation of God, you were what? It just told you. Raised. So if I was buried with him in baptism and raised with him, then what happened to my mind? It's made new. Because the body of sins cut away. The new creature, the mind of Christ, put on. So, in the process of laying a foundation in Jesus Christ, What has happened to me? You just said it. I've been made a new creature. So what happens if I don't lay the foundation? You're still in your old sins. Who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with himself, having forgiven all your trespasses. So, I was having this conversation a week before last with a member of my family, my physical family, just so you know. Having this conversation because they've had some things happen, and so they've been preaching the gospel to some members of their family about repenting. And we couldn't get him, and he said, we just couldn't bring him to repentance. And I looked at him and I said, listen, it's not your job to bring him to repentance. Whose job is it? It's God's. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that will bring you to repentance. It's you being baptized into the body of Christ that will bring you to repentance. Who can perform it? The Word of God can. The Word of God's going to lay a foundation in your life. The Word of God's going to establish that Son in you to become the Son in you. We have worked it, we have worked it, we have worked it, we have worked it, and we have worked it again to no avail. It's a wonderful day to be alive where the teaching of the Word of God is making me new. As I have said time and time and time again, listen, you are in the appointed time of God in your lives right now to hear this message. Let me say it again for you. You are alive right now to hear this message. It's the appointed time of God for you to take you out of yourself and put you in the mind of Christ so that you become the Son of God whom he prophesied you to be. Oh, it was finished from the foundations of the world. Now let it be finished in your world, in you. And the manifestation of the members of the body of Christ will come forth in you in power. Amen. God bless you. We'll stop there.